The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Talked my way through the 6 o'clock hour without getting any of those CNN clips for you. The very nervous and surprised and jittery James Clapper, Anderson Cooper even refers to James Clapper as George Clapper at the end. We will definitely get back to those and let you hear just how uncomfortable Anderson Cooper and legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin, and of course James Clapper, one of the topics of investigation now in William Barr's Department of Justice, really sound after the announcement that a criminal investigation or the administrative investigation into the starts of the phony Russia collusion delusion investigation into the president, that administrative investigation is now turned into a criminal investigation. That is pretty darn cool. And before we get to our in-studio guest, was just asked by a texter on the 710 KNUS app to make an announcement this morning. Really, really important. At the Independence Institute, starting at 8:30 with breakfast, a 9 o'clock program. Cut, the Colorado Union of Taxpayers is having their awards breakfast. And some of my best friends in the legislature will be getting their awards for standing up for Colorado taxpayers. Vicki Marble, Lori Sane, Steve Humphrey, and Dave Williams will be among or are the honorees down there. And typically, you know, on a Saturday morning, if you didn't know about it, you can get in to it, get down there to the Independence Institute for the 8:30 breakfast, the 9 o'clock program, and give a shout-out and thanks to Colorado State legislators who are actually doing their job and keeping their promises, some of whom we will not have much longer. Lori Sane is now, I mean, she's out. She was term limited. She's running for county commissioner. I wish I could be there, but Saturday mornings are not typically available for me. All right, the sun is rising, and with the dawning of a new day, let's shed some light onto a group that some would think, or if you believe what you read in the left-wing media, a very controversial group, some of the worst of America, dangerous, white supremacists, white nationalists. I'm a nationalist, but you don't have to put my skin color in front. We're going to find out some truth today. And I was just so glad that when I saw a tweet from Louis Huey about his experience up at CSU when Charlie Kirk and Donald Trump Jr. were there, his interactions with the very peaceful, calm, sedate Antifa folks that show up to protest any kind of conservative event, that when I reached out to him, he said, yeah, I'd love to come on and talk about it. And so Louis Huey is in studio with us, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Randy. Thanks to having me on today, and it's good to see you again.
Yeah, absolutely. We have not seen you since 9/21. Had not met you, had not, frankly, paid that much attention to Proud Boys. Talked about, you know, sometimes there'd be some news story, and I'd always try and give the other side to how the news presented you guys as showing up to cause violence and wreak havoc and everything else. I want to really get into who and what the Proud Boys are. Definitely talk about the CSU event last week when you were there. And also this incredible statement by a judge as he sentenced two Proud Boys to 4 years in prison for basically a political street fight. And so we'll get to all that while you're here. But before we do, introduce yourself to people. Louis Huey is your real name.
Yes, indeed.
No, your parents have maybe a good sense of humor.
It's actually Louis, but I feel like my mom's yelling at me if you call me Louis.
excellent. Well, the rhyming is why, you know, people wonder. But it's great. And you're a Colorado guy.
Yes.
So introduce yourselves to our audience.
All right. Well, I am Louis Huey. I'm 30 years old. Lived in Colorado all my life. I've always been an activist, probably about 12 years since right out of high school. I thought I was a liberal because of the indoctrination in our public schools today. I actually voted for Obama when I was 19 the first time. It took me about 2 weeks to really wake up. I turned on Rush Limbaugh, and I was wondering to myself, why does my old man listen to Rush Limbaugh all the time? And I want to say thanks to Rush Limbaugh for waking me up. I was in my high school newspaper. I wanted to go into media, but I saw in journalism school that I was surrounded by all liberals. So I ended up putting up my hard hat on my head and became a carpenter instead. And during 2016, at all these rallies and the Trump rallies, I started to see what's really going on with today's leftists out there. Not all Democrats. I mean, I have Democrat friends too, but I'm talking the hard left, the far left. They're out there attacking innocent people at protests and rallies, hitting people with baseball bats, throwing pee and feces, and just being unruly people. And they cover their faces because they know they're doing wrong and they don't want to be recognized. And so
they don't want their moms to see them out there acting like
they don't
want to
be grounded. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I started my podcast, Major League Liberty, back in 2016 during the campaign. And I joined Proud Boys, and we're just the ones in the way. They want to come for the Bill of Rights. They want to come for our First Amendment. They want to come for your Second Amendment. They want to come for all our freedoms and liberties here in America. And we're just those guys in their way.
So what high school did you attend?
Conifer.
So mountain kid.
Yes.
And were you into sports? Were you?
Oh, yes. Baseball, big time.
Okay. A normal high school growing up, were you part of the in crowd, the out crowd?
I'd say I was probably one of the most popular people at the school for sure.
Interesting. So you were a social climber. You dated the cute chicks.
Definitely.
You went to the school events and all of that. My point is, you know, people always try and portray people who stand up for liberty. Tom Tancredo, Michelle Malkin are identified as, you know, right-wing radical supremacists by organizations like Southern Poverty Law Center, always just described in the most extreme language possible. And so when you think of somebody who would become a member of a white supremacist, violent, you know, counter-protesting organization like Proud Boys, which is what the left tries to cap you guys with, you'd think you'd have to have been one of those outcasts, you know, one of those kids that was picked on and was alone in his parents' basement and, you know, working out all these extreme ideas. You are a normal, popular, successful high schooler right here in Colorado who voted for Obama the first time you had a chance to vote for a president at age 19.
Yep.
And I understand Rush Limbaugh is a great awakener. People who actually listen to Rush or have listened to him over the years, it's amazing just how insightful he has been. His predictions, his analysis. He's not a showman. He's not an entertainer. He is one of the most, obviously the most successful, but one of the most insightful political analysts out there. So if you listen to him with an open mind and stick around for a while, you know, get past the jokes and some of the things that he does that make him a great radio personality. The information you can get from understanding what Rush is talking about is absolutely amazing. What was it that flipped you on Obama 2 weeks after you voted for him?
Just the way you said, the way Rush analyzed everything and broke it all down. And he really showed me that Democrats want more government. They'd say, you know, you need us. Give us all your dollars. Give us your votes. We'll take care of you. And I was like, that's not who I am. Like, I like my country. I like liberties. I like freedom. You know, I like my flag. And I realized that they were promising me a bill of goods. They were just asking for money and votes. And Republicanism or libertarianism wants you to be responsible for yourself and make your life better. You make those choices. And that's what I truly feel in my heart is the best way. And we are Americans. This isn't China.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you. Although, don't ask the NBA to draw those distinctions,
exactly.
You know, at least not publicly. That's a topic of a whole nother show. All right, so at 19, 2 weeks after voting for Obama, you had your eyes opened. What kind of political background does your family have? What kind of influences did you have growing up from mom and dad?
Well, I know my dad, he was always Republican. My mom actually used to be a Democrat, and I think I red-pilled her throughout the years. We never really talked about politics much growing up, but I knew my dad was a Republican. He would listen to Rush Limbaugh, and he's always listening to talk radio. And I think he's the reason why I've gotten so into podcasts and talk radio and stuff like that. And I was into journalism. I was the editor-in-chief of my high school newspaper. So I really started learning a lot about how politics worked when I was in high school.
Sure.
And I thought I was a liberal. I thought I hated Bush. I thought I hated Republicans. They're old white racists.
Because that's what you'd been told.
Exactly. That's what they're teaching in our schools.
And now you're a young white racist, according to those same people that you supported.
Yeah, and it's hard to believe. You know, they keep calling me a white supremacist. Well, it's kind of hard to do that when I'm Hispanic. You know, it's hilarious.
Yeah. Well, Michelle Malkin gets the same kind of treatment. You know,
right.
She's a racist, although if you look closely at her, you'll notice that there is some pigmentation to her skin as well.
Right.
It's just it's amazing how the left has to utilize these labels to as another way to try and shut us up or shut us down.
Right.
And it's very effective because there's a compliant media that has the vast majority of the airwaves under control. But for social media, but for podcasting, but for talk radio, there wouldn't really be any opposition to that message right now.
And that's why they're trying to shut us up. They banned me for life from Facebook. So my podcast is running on fumes right now, but we're not going anywhere. We're working on setting up a new network and a new website to live stream and all our podcasts, and we're not going anywhere.
Yeah, Major League Liberty. What's that? Was that kind of a baseball analogy?
Exactly.
You're in baseball history.
I wanted to be a sports broadcaster when I was younger and in high school. I wanted to go into sports media. I wanted to be like a beat reporter, you know, for the Nuggets or the Rockies.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, the way politics has been going the past 10 years or so, it's really, I can't sit by idly anymore. I can't do sports. I got to do politics.
You know, you hear, I'm 60 now, and, you know, if I attend a Republican breakfast or if we have Tea Party meetings, there's no question that the vast majority of the people that show up are, you know, in their 50s, 60s, or even older. People who've been watching politics for a long, long time have watched the Republican Party continue to allow itself to be ratcheted further and further to the left, you know, trying to get along, trying to be liked in the media. And so many of them are incredibly frustrated. And the thing that we hear all the time is, where are the young people? The young people are being taken over. We've lost. Look at the college campuses. Look at how they're, you know, 51% now want the First Amendment changed to ban hate speech. Who's going to define that? And what are the punishments going to be if you say a bad word like, ooh, I don't know, lynching?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's people who aren't actively involved, who aren't showing up at a 921 rally or showing up at CSU to see the movement of young people, could have a real misconception about where the youth of America really are. And when I see the amount of people who lined up to get into that CSU rally after the CSU president was warning people about, you know, white supremacist messages. Donald Trump and Charlie Kirk, for God's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump Jr. and Charlie Kirk, for goodness sake. And yet it was the line to get into that thing was absolutely remarkable. That's happening for Charlie Kirk and Turning Point USA on every campus where they go. And when I think about Colorado Christian University, Hillsdale College, just places all around the country that don't get the attention but are actually grooming the next round of leaders, people like yourself, man. I mean, gosh, get out of high school and set up a podcast and get politically active and all of that. Just now turning 30 years old, I feel like the future of the country is in pretty good shape with the young people out there. You just can't see that story in the mainstream media.
Right. They don't want you to know that. And that's why they hate us so much, especially Proud Boys, is because we are inspiring the youth, and they don't want that to happen. They want that stranglehold, and they want that power over their minds. And people like myself are inspiring kids coming out of high school. I'm getting people excited, holding flags, come out to rallies. Get excited. Get off the fence. Don't be scared of the angry liberals out there. Use your voice. We still have one here in America, and we need to use it.
What is your role or position in Proud Boys?
I'm not the leader here in Colorado. We do have a president. I'm probably just the most famous one here in Colorado because I travel all across the country, and I got my podcast, and I'm very vocal.
Okay.
And I feel like I'm very inspiring. I see it everywhere I go. If I'm recognized, you know, kids in high school, they want to take a selfie with me. They want to get out to the events. They want to join our group. They want to get involved, and that's what I want to see. I want to see Americans and Republicans get out there and start being excited again. We're always letting the left dictate everything. We always have to apologize. We shouldn't have to apologize for being free men.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, high schoolers and young college kids are always looking for a cause, are looking for inspiration. And if the only message that's available is white people bad, American history evil, we're a nation founded on slavery, you know, just all of the, it's so easy in 30 seconds to disabuse people of the notion or send them to look at the just the little snippets of history that it will teach them that America is the only country that ever had a civil war with itself.
Yes.
600,000 or more Americans killed fighting to stop the institution of slavery, which still exists in the world and had existed all around the world before America finally said no. But just little pieces like that, when I'm around young people and they'll make a statement about, you know, our history or whatever, and you start talking to them and pointing out, you know, you ought to check this out. You ought to take a look at that. You ought to think about, you know, find another country that actually had a civil war with itself to stop slavery. Understand why the three-fifths clause was put into the Constitution. It doesn't take that long to get them seeing another thing, another view. But in school, they're not getting that at all. But since they're looking for leadership, since they're looking for inspiration, it is really it's an exciting time. I think a potential for a great reawakening in the United States to have people like you, Charlie Kirk, Turning Point USA, black leaders, Candace Owens and Derek Wilburn here in the state of Colorado, putting black college students from liberal black colleges in with conservative Congress people. To work as aides and staff and see how the sausage making goes in Washington, D.C. All of those seeds are being planted around the country right now. And that's part of the reason that the left is so aggressively trying to shut down people like you and organizations like yours. So you have no problem taking phone calls, do you?
No, not at all.
All right. If anybody would like to have their first conversation with the Proud Boy, we've got one of the best known in studio with us right now, Louis Huey, right here from Conifer, Colorado. You don't live in Conifer now, right?
No, I'm up in Broomfield right
now. Okay. Oh, you had a long drive this morning.
That's okay. I'm a carpenter, too. I'm used to it.
303-696-1971, 303-696-1971. When we come back, I want to start with how the mainstream media describes Proud Boys. Have you respond to that? And then we'll maybe we'll save CSU for last because I want to get your take on what happened in New York this week as well.
Okay.
That worked. 303-696-1971. Phone's already lighting up. 721. Wake up with Randy Corcoran here on 710 KNUS.
Now, back to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
7:26 on a Saturday morning. Sun is up now. Enjoy it while it lasts. The last beautiful day of October. High of 70. Should spend a little Harley time just to keep my system from exploding over the next week or two because it looks nasty. 5 to 10 inches of snow maybe by Monday morning commute. So whatever preparations you need to do, do not forget. But we're keeping it hot in the studio. We've got Louis Huey from the Proud Boys, Conifer High School graduate who was voted for Obama the first time and learned that that was a mistake pretty early on, and then took the incredible skills that it sounds like he developed in high school, editor of the newspaper, popular, socially active, not a basement dwelling loner kind of person, you know, the way that the left wants to describe anybody who stands up for this country. If you go to Wikipedia, Proud Boys, and we'll get to the phones here in just a second. If you go to Wikipedia, Proud Boys is a far-right neo-fascist organization that admits only men as members and promotes political violence. That's the first sentence.
Unbelievable.
Anything there you'd like to disagree with, Louis?
Pretty much the whole thing. Proud Boys, we're more of a libertarian men's fraternity that happens to love our country. We want men to be men again, and there's nothing wrong with loving liberty and freedom in our nation. We are not a neo-fascist group by any sense of the word. Like I said, our colors are black and yellow. We love the Gadsden flag. We're more of a libertarian men's fraternity that drinks beer once a month. And we go out to events and rallies, and we just want to stand up for our fellow patriots.
And put up opposition to people who want to squelch free speech.
Exactly. We don't go there for a fight. We go there to use our words. We have a First Amendment, and Americans need to start using that again. We need to remember what it's like to have disagreements. We don't need to throw punches. We don't need to fight. Use your words. You can beat them in the game of ideals every time.
Now, you've got a shirt on that's very concerning to me. I don't really understand that it has red and white, and I see some blue over there, and then a whole bunch of words back there I can't quite make out. What's that all about?
This is the Declaration of Independence right here.
I know. Man, how we forget.
I know.
How we forget. Now, you know, I went to law school. I dropped out of high school, so I can't really talk about a high school education in the 70s. Never went back. Spent a lot of years getting a couple years of college credit, you know, just kind of exploring things that I was interested in. Then got serious and finished my degree in a couple of years. Got right into law school, 35 years old. Went to the University of Denver Law School. And don't recall a single minute spent on actually analyzing the Constitution or the empowering document for the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. Instead, we spent all of our time learning and reading what the Supreme Court thinks about the United States Constitution. When you were in high school just 11 years ago or 12 years ago as a senior, were you taught about the Declaration or the Constitution at all? Were you exposed to it in any way?
Very briefly. They never really went into detail. They never taught you anything about taxes. They didn't go over the Bill of Rights. It's mostly a bunch of leftist propaganda and how the earth is cooking up and we're all going to die and fossil fuels are the enemy and you should, you know, ban all fossil fuels. That's pretty much all they really taught you.
Yeah. My good buddy Tom Tancredo a week or so ago called me. He was just aghast. He'd heard from his grandson. I think he was on with – I was supposed to talk about this last Saturday and I forgot, but – he was on with Chuck Bonniewell on the Chuck and Julie show and talked about CNN 10, how his grandson in elementary school is having these 10-minute news bits in fourth period from CNN.
Yep.
And I'm sure some of them are news, but the thing that got Tancredo's attention, as I recall, was the grandson coming home and apparently Nancy Pelosi had said something about our criminal president, and his grandson was concerned about that, and he'd heard this on CNN 10. Did they have that in your school a decade ago?
A little bit. It was mostly Bill Nye giving us propaganda all the time.
Climate change propaganda.
Yes, exactly. We got bombarded with that.
But he's a scientist.
Oh, no. He's an engineer. He's a scientist.
He's amazing. Okay. I want to actually hear more about Proud Boys. Let's squeeze in at least one phone call before we run out of time in this segment. Herb in Denver's been waiting. Herb, good morning.
Good morning, Randy and Herb. Randy and Yui. How are you guys?
Good.
Doing great.
Good.
Good. Hey, I know I saw you both at the Arapahoe County Tea Party several months ago. And remember the school board at large in Denver, Natella Manutseva, she's the same age as you. You know Natella, Yui?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know she's running against Mr. Tay Anderson and Alexis Harrigan. You know, Tay being I would call him a Marxist, and Alexis, he's black and she's a Mexican socialist. So I'm just wondering if you're letting your people know that that's the person to vote for, a proud, ethnically Armenian woman in her 30s, a conservative, and also from Uzbekistan. She's our person.
Oh, definitely. And our guys definitely know. We know Tay Anderson pretty well. He's been one of my political, I guess, rivals, you can call it, in the past few years. And I always knew he was going to be running. I think he's beatable, though.
Do you? Why?
Because he just, I mean, at least he's respectful. I will give him that. He's always given me the respect. A lot of the far leftists out there won't do that, but he's really just really well-versed in the talking points. If you start talking with him, he'll lose it.
I didn't think he was respectful at all at the 9/21 rally.
I'm sorry.
The Labor Day rally. He didn't show up at 9/21. At least I didn't see him there. But at the Labor Day rally, you weren't there, Louis. He had the bullhorn when people on his side, the counter protesters, were there to. They were calling black folks on our side white man's N-word and stuff like that.
Like Casper.
Yeah, and all he did was step in and tell the white folks that they couldn't use that word in describing the language that had just been hurled across the aisle, so to speak, across the street at the black folks on our side. And so maybe he's respectful in having a back and forth and can only hang on to the talking points. That's fine. But it was obnoxious and outrageous. And
he might be getting a little more cocky and confident these days.
Yeah. Well, I hope there's – I mean, this is Denver. I hope to God there's a way to not have someone like him,
right,
whose belief system, if you look at, you know, even at his website and his history and some of his prior comments, is very, very scary to have that setting up the type of teaching programs that are going to go on in Denver schools. But Herb, you're in Denver. Do you see any chance of beating Tay or the other – leftist school board candidates?
Well, the funny thing is the Republican establishment has chosen Alexis. She's being supported by a group called Ready Colorado Action, and she's sending out flyers where it's saying that former Republican Governor Bill Owens is supporting Alexis.
Good God. Well, so this, who knows?
You know.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much, Herb. Thanks for waiting as well. 303-696-1971 if you'd like to weigh in. So I read this first sentence: Proud Boys, far-right neo-fascist organization, admits only men as members, promotes political violence. There was a sentencing in New York of two Proud Boys sentenced to 4 years in prison over a street fight with Antifa. And I didn't have a chance last night to go back and look at the video, but I remember the video when this trial was going on, when they refused to take a plea. Antifa members who were involved in that fight took a plea, correct?
Yes.
But what I saw was Proud Boys defending themselves. I didn't see you guys like moving in as a group and going after people. Violence was started against these defendants. That's the way I remember the video. What did you see, and what's your comment on some of the words of the judge during the sentencing?
Well, you hit the nail right on the head there. It's always the same story over and over again. Every city we're in, we don't go there to start the violence, but we end up being attacked, and we have to get into this position where we have to defend ourselves. It's almost to the point now where we're supposed to just sit there and take a beating, get beaten up, get bloodied, get burnt up, and hit with baseball bats. And the minute you say no and stand up for yourself, you're going to be sent into prison. And this was a political stunt. They're trying to make it an example so that, you know, people like us don't stand up and use our voice. We don't go to rallies anymore. They don't want us around. And this is the way for this judge to be basically a political activist. He's doing activism from the bench. He's not being an actual judge. And he actually admitted that in his statement in the court. He made an example out of these boys. And they were attacked.
Yeah, well, that's the way I read the that's the way I saw the video. And of course, video can be cut and manipulated. I get all that, but I haven't seen any evidence that members of the Proud Boys show up to instigate violence. The difference is, and this came up a lot during 9/21, when we were told to stand down and it was going to be violent, and they're coming, they want to start a fight with you. Is we showed up with Proud Boys. We showed up with Patriot Guard riders. We showed up with Able Shepherds. And there was plenty of security. Set aside what the police did. The Aurora police made sure that was going to be a no-trouble zone that day. Did a great job of that. But it is incumbent on citizens who care about the future of their country, who understand that all the blood that has been given on our soil during our founding, during the Revolutionary War, during the Civil War, to actually eliminate the ravages of slavery, and then on foreign shores, all the blood that has been given is worth fighting for.
Oh, definitely.
And so if you have to show up at an event and be prepared to defend yourself, so be it.
Right.
I can't imagine. And, you know, people have health issues, older people or whatever. You make your own decisions. But if everybody stays away from events because of the risk of violence or danger, then the left will own the streets. The left already owns the media, already owns a vast majority of the college campuses. They want the streets now.
And you just nailed it right there. And that's what we're here to do. We want to defend those innocent people. We want more patriots to come out. Just all American-loving patriots. You need to get off the couch. You got to get off the fence. You got to get out there and stand up for America. They want us silenced. And we're just there to defend people. And we want you to get out there and get excited. It's okay to love America. We should all love it. This country has done amazing things for us, the world. It's brought more people out of poverty than any other nation before. You can make your own decisions in life in this country. You set your destiny.
The CSU event, president came out and tried to warn students away from Charlie Kirk, of all people, Turning Point USA. Donald Trump Jr. was there. The turnout was absolutely amazing, and you showed up as well. Tell folks what happened. Was this on Tuesday?
So I did have a ticket. I really wanted to go inside and see Charlie and Donald Trump, and we showed up about an hour early. There was so many people there that the auditorium was full, and we couldn't get in because tickets were free, and it was overpouring of people all throughout the street. And so what ended up happening is we saw there was a huge crowd of protesters and Antifa out there. Maybe 100 to 150 of them out there just screaming the most vile and hatred things. And I go to a lot of events, and I know what happens if you don't counteract them. And so that's what we did. We stood on the other side of the street, chanted back at them. I led our patriot side in chants of USA, sang the Star Spangled Banner. And
how hateful.
Oh, it's hateful. They call it, they're frothing at the mouth hateful.
One of the reasons I think that that Democrats, and I'm glad you made the point early on in your visit here this morning that not all Democrats.
Right.
But it is the radicals. It is the extremists who are in charge of the Democrat Party right now. Look at who their presidential candidates are.
Yep.
Look at how they're conducting Star Chamber so-called impeachment inquiries. Look at how the media, you know, just toes the leftist line on anything having to do with this president or accusations against him or anything else. So it really is easy to just say Democrats and mean these radicals like Antifa who show up to spur violence at events like the one at CSU.
Right.
And I think that this is a real problem for the Democrats because the average Democrat who may have voted for a Ronald Reagan at some point, many of whom voted for Donald Trump because he was not evil criminal Hillary Clinton,
right,
and was promising to put America first and bring jobs back. How in the world are those folks going to get supportive of the kind of behavior that you saw from Antifa at CSU? They can't.
Right.
All bodes very, very well for the reelection of this president.
I think so. What does scare me, though, is look at the squad, you know, AOC and Ilhan Omar. The Trump rally in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Ilhan Omar was hanging out with Antifa and had her face covered up.
Yeah.
That just shows where the Democratic Party is going to go if we don't start standing up against this stuff.
And so you don't ever want to encourage people to get hurt. You don't want to encourage people to put themselves at risk. But how do you fight against a message like this if you aren't willing to stand up yourself?
Right, and that's what you do. We have to do. And that's what I did Tuesday night. At one point, I walked up into the entire crowd of Antifa by myself. A few of my boys followed behind, you know, because they know they got to watch out for me. Oh, Louis's going to do it, you know. So I tried to approach them and talk with dialogue, and just immediately they start swarming, flip my friends' hats off, start pushing and shoving. Thank you to the Fort Collins police for shutting that down quickly and allowing me to have the dialogue there. So I do want to send out a special shout-out to Fort Collins police for allowing me to try to at least reach out to these people.
Yeah. I don't want to sound like a violence monger myself, but if people don't stand up, what happens when somebody does stand up to them and actually start swinging back or whatever is they scatter like the cowards they are.
Exactly.
They have strength in masks. They have strength in numbers. They can throw things, you know, concrete filled cups, concrete milkshakes. We had Andy Ngo on here a couple of weeks ago. He's serious brain injury up in Portland. And people have to be ready to stand and defend themselves.
We need to, and we need more people to do it. Otherwise, like you said, they're going to own the streets. They slashed my tires last month. They've threatened me and my son's life. They're very angry cowards. All you got to do is stand up to them. That's it.
Yeah. So what's the future of Proud? Well, in fact, see, we got to take a break already. What is the future of Proud Boys? Did you have any CSU college students come over and talk to you guys and hear from you? Are you able to reach college? I can understand the high school kids who are, they've been brainwashed for all these years and they're looking for something to excite them and to something to believe in. But I worry about the ability to reach some of these college kids. Let's talk about those topics when we come back and what's ahead for the organization. What's ahead for Louis Huey? That work?
Sounds good.
All right, we'll try and squeeze in a couple more calls as well. 303-696-1971. We do have all of the great CNN audio from Jeff Toobin, Anderson Cooper, and James, sometimes known as George. Apparently, Anderson Cooper was nervous in this interview as well. We'll play all that for you in the 8 o'clock hour, but we'll wrap up with Louis Huey from Proud Boys as we continue on Wake Up with Randy Corcoran here at 710 KNUS.
Now, back to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
.749, about 11 minutes to go until 8 o'clock in studio with Louis Huey from the Proud Boys, Colorado's own. And we were just talking about the Countdown 2020 War for America's Soul event. People were calling about that. 710KNUS.com. Looks like tickets are still available. There's a VIP event at 5:30. The actual program itself doesn't kick off till about 7 o'clock or a little after, so I'll be filling in for Stephen Tubbs on Tuesday while he MCs this event, but because it's close by, I should be able to get over there and hear most of the meet, and I hope we'll see you there. We will be giving away buttons that some anonymous donor dropped off at my office. I wish I had been there. I think it was a guy, that's what I recall my staff telling me, but just this big box of Labor Day ice rally buttons and 921 participant buttons. And so if you're a 921 participant or were there at the Labor Day rally, plenty of buttons to go around. And I am definitely going to try and get there after we do the Stephen Tubbs show. You can get tickets at 710knus.com. And it's Dennis Prager, Michelle Malkin at the CU South Denver Event Center, formerly the Wildlife Experience. And it's brought to you in part by Alpha One Tax and Wealth. You can visit them online at alphaonewealth.com, alphaonewealth.com. Louis, you gave me an interesting bit of information about one of the white supremacist Proud Boys who was convicted of assault for defending himself at a violent rally in New York. And what was that bit of information?
Well, John Kinsman is one of the two that was sentenced this week to 4 years in prison. They call us a group of white supremacists. Well, I'd like everyone out there to know that John's wife is actually black. He has two black kids as well. And if we're truly a violent white supremacist group, I don't see why John would be marrying a black woman.
How would he get in?
Right, no. Exactly. We have black men. We have Jewish men. We even have gay guys in our group. We are not a hateful organization. We just want men to be men again.
What does that mean exactly?
Well, today's left is out there saying there's a thing called toxic masculinity. They're turning our boys into girls, and we don't want that. We want to be men. We want to stand up for our country, stand up for our rights, and just be better people. We strive every day to be better men than we were yesterday. That's our entire motto, our entire goal.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, when you were at CSU, did you have an opportunity to interact with some of the college students there, or especially any of the college students who were protesting seeing Charlie Kirk and Donald Trump Jr.? Set aside the Antifa masked cowards for a second.
Oh, definitely. It happens a lot. You know, I go to events at Boulder, Fort Collins, you know, on the college campuses. A lot of times some of these kids are out there because they think it's the right thing to do. They think they're on the right side of history. Really, they're just being brainwashed. But I've seen it happen over and over again. Someone will be standing there and they're looking at me like, this guy is not a Nazi. He's not a white supremacist. He's talking to us with truth and logic. And I see this little light bulb flick in their head, and then I never see them at a protest ever again. So I think I am making waves. And people on our side, the college kids out there, they're excited. They look at us like rock stars, and I think we are making waves.
Well, I sure hope so. And what do you think the secret is? You can't go to a college kid. You have a better connection with them because of your age, because of your look. You were one of the popular high school kids during your day in high school. So you've got that kind of built-in charisma and connection with other young people. What is the key to actually engage in a conversation instead of coming across as, you know, finger-wagging or lecturing?
You can't do that. Because the minute you start pointing fingers and blaming is the minute they're just going to shut you down. So you have to come at them. Think about what it's like to be in their shoes. Think about, you know, they're young. They're just coming into the world. They don't know what's going on yet. Just lead by example. Don't be rude. Just come at them with truth and logic and let them figure it out. Kind of lead them down that path.
As a lawyer and, you know, someone who's spent just a long time developing communication skills, information gathering skills as part of my profession, it always seems to me that the best way to approach getting someone invested in a conversation rather than spewing facts and, you know, shouting statistics or whatever is to start asking questions. You know, well,
yes.
Why do you think that? Have you ever looked into, you know, this particular piece of history, or have you ever listened to this particular person or something like that? Is that part of what you're talking about?
Definitely. Oh, yes. And that's what I told him on Tuesday as well. I'm not here to fight you. I do this because I love you. It's not because I hate you. I don't want to hurt any of you. We should be joining together and educating each other and fighting the real enemies, not each other. The media wants us at each other's throats. I don't want to be at their throats. Let's have a discussion.
Yeah. Well, we've only got about a minute left, and I want to make sure people know how to dial into your podcast. And if they're interested in an actual serious look about the work that Proud Boys is doing around the country, not only to stand up against violent protests, but actually to spread a message of patriotism and love of country and traditional gender roles and families being okay.
Right.
Doesn't mean people can't choose to live different ways. But it's okay to be,
exactly,
this is air quotes now, I'm going to offend some people, normal, you know, right. Traditional, I guess, is more the way to say it. What would be the ways for people to interact with you, your podcast, and the organization?
Well, my podcast is Major League Liberty. You can find us on Twitter, YouTube, Minds, Gab, Facebook. We're all over the place. As for myself, you can find me on Twitter at Real Louis Huey. For Proud Boys, go to ProudBoysUSA.com. You can learn all about the Proud Boys events, charity things that we're doing. You can also buy merchandise that goes directly to the boys' legal funds in New York to help them out. So please check us out at ProudBoysUSA.com. You can also find my podcast, which is Major League Liberty.
30 seconds or less. How do you see the future, the election, and just the general trajectory of the country? Are we nearing the end of the republic, as history would suggest, and as some people think, just seeing how things, you know, what our society is like right now? Are we in the midst of a great awakening and a great pushback?
I just want to say God bless Donald Trump. I think he gave us a fighting chance. I'm not sure where this is going to go, but I see a lot of us patriots starting to stand up and get behind this president. And like you said, I think that boomerang is swinging around. It's up to us, we the people, to do it now. You can't expect the government to do it. It's we the people.
CNN certainly seems nervous about the boomerang. We'll play some of the audio from this interview that Anderson Cooper did with Jeff Toobin and James Clapper. They had him in for a different reason, and then this news broke that the administrative investigation into the origins of the Russia collusion delusion has now turned into a criminal investigation. And people over there at CNN aren't too happy about it. We'll have some fun with that when we come back. Many thanks to you, Louis Huey.
Thank you, Randy.
And hope to see you at the next rally, or maybe even see you on Tuesday night at the Michelle Malkin Dennis Prager event.
I'm definitely going to try to be there.
All right. Very good. God bless you, sir. All right. We'll take our break right now. We've got callers on the line. There is a line open at 303-696-1971. We'll do all of our calls in the next hour and have some fun with CNN. And a very nervous James, or as Anderson referred to him at the end, George Clapper. And all that's next on Wake Up with Randy Corcoran, 710 KNUS.